I need a volunteer.
Yeah, you want to do it for
sure.
We got a volunteer already. Is that really getting lined up? Here we go. You can do that right in front of us. And if you'll all turn to that front page over these doctrines that we have been looking at that create intellectual tension, we'll read them off one by one and see how strong our brother is, okay? Number one.
One man of God and three members of the Godhead.
Number two.
Both deity and perfect humanity.
Number three.
God's word in my hand.
Number four.
God's sovereignty and human responsibility.
Number five.
Faith and works.
Number six.
Prayer and the will of God.
Thank you. We are combining physical fitness and spiritual fitness. Some of us not very well, but nonetheless. These doctrines that we have looked at, these various subjects, show us that our faith in God is rational. It is not non-rational. He has told us certain things. As we recognize, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things are revealed, belong to His children, to us and our children forever, that we may do the words of the law. As we approach some of these subjects, we recognize that some part of them is beyond our comprehension. Faith is not irrational. It is rational. God has revealed Himself to us. These things belong to us and our children forever. But in the things He has revealed, there are dimensions of it that are beyond our comprehension. Such is the case with prayer. Have any of you ever struggled with the concept of prayer in your life? The struggle comes when we pray and the prayer is not answered in the way in which we prayed. Have any of you had that? Oh, well, Paul had that. He prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh might be revealed. And God said, no, 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 but I'll give you the sufficient grace to endure that and to bring glory to my name. Unless we think that was only a problem that Paul had, I see the Lord Jesus Christ praying in a similar way, don't you? The Garden of Gethsemane, that is such a telling event in the life of Christ and so parallels our life in so many ways. We come to God and we pray, this is what I desire, this is my will. What's the next part of that verse? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The author of the book of Hebrews, when he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his priesthood, cites Gethsemane as an illustration of the humanity of Jesus Christ and how he struggled in the same ways that we struggle. When he cried out to God with groanings and prayers, he was heard. And though he was a son through fear, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. This is a common experience in prayer. The tension in prayer, frankly, does it work, isn't it? The tension in prayer is, I don't get all the requests that I bring to God, even though He will ask whatever you will in my name, and the rest of the verse says, I will give it to you. And how many of us have asked, and we thought it was in the will of God, and it was not. And He said to us, like He did to Paul, no. And He said to us, like He did to His son, no. And from time to time, we have struggle in the whole concept of prayer. Because while on the one hand, we see so many answers, on the other hand, we see so many no's. Isn't that the trouble? Or am I alone in that? Is that a trouble you have? Tension. Hold it in tension. Now, when we come to prayer, let us understand that it is a rather technical term in Scripture. It is one of our forms of verbalization to God, not the only one. We have a tendency to call anything verbal to God prayer. We have a tendency to call anything verbal to God worship, too. And there are distinctions in the various forms of verbalization we make to God. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, "Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall garrison your heart and mind." He introduces that by saying, "In everything give thanks." So right in that section, there are a couple of different ways we talk to God. And I'd like to review those just briefly so we can understand that we're only talking about one part of our verbal communication to God. We worship God. And when we worship God, we are saying great things to Him. Now, we can do that individually in our private worship. And that's the part of life I'm talking about particularly today, our individual responsibility to God, individual prayer. But we will worship God individually. We will say to God, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings." We're addressing God for who He is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are blessing Him for all the blessings that have been given to us, who has blessed us. And we're recognizing that, who He is and what He does. It's all for God. Worship does not need a human audience. Did you hear that? Worship doesn't need a human audience. Now, we worship collectively, and we do speak in worshipful tones to God, but it is to have all of us think great thoughts about God and direct that worship to God. Worship is Godward, and it's part of our verbalization. We do it privately, when we see the beauty of God in creation, when we see the way God has worked in our lives, and we worship Him. How great Thou art! It's worship. It's directed to God. Prayer is always asking God for something. Now, as soon as I say always, you will say, "Oh, you can't say always." Well, that's probably true. There are segments in the Bible that are identified as prayer where it is hard to find the psalmist asking Him for anything. Some of the Psalms are simply worship, and you may have a word of prayer or supplication in that. But prayer is virtually always in Scripture, and hence I will say always, for clarity, asking God for something. We'll look at that in detail. Another thing we say when we talk to God, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is another form of verbalization. If we have asked God for help in a given situation, when that help is provided or the answer is given, we are instructed to say something to Him, just like we say to our children when they receive something. What do you say? What do you say? Thank you. Let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. So we have worship, in which we are ascribing to God the greatness of His being, who He is and what He has done. We are praying to God. We are asking Him for a request in some way or another. And when He responds to that, we respond by saying thank you. Let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. There is one other form of verbalization before God that Scripture addresses, and it's confession of sin. Have any of you done that today? I'm not supposed to ask questions like that. It would be kind of presumptuous to think that we have gone this far into a day without some form of sin in our lives. And that is true. Confession is part of our experience with God. It's part of our verbalization. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's part of what we do when we talk to God. We talk to God in worship. We talk to God in prayer. We talk to God in saying thanks. And we talk to God in saying, I confess my sins. I think these are all the ways we talk to God. Now, there are other words, supplication, intercession, entreaty. They're all prayer words in which we're asking for God in some different little way between one and another. Supplication is intensity. Entreaty is with great emotion as well. Petition is with others. All those words, intercession is for others. All of those are prayer words. But they're all asking for something. For help. I don't think there are any other ways of verbalizing to God. This is how we talk to God. We worship Him. We pray. We say thank you. We confess our sins. That may be done in a lot of forms. It may be done by singing. It may be done by reading sections. There are lots of ways that we can go at those four things, but that's about all there is. He talks to us through the Word. And if you put all this together, it is our communion life with God. Now, meditation is a quiet any of those in the process. Now, what we're focusing on today particularly is this concept of prayer. I've never met a Christian in my life who's satisfied with his prayer life. Anybody here satisfied with your prayer life? I met with a student for 45 minutes or so just past week. We meet regularly. We talked about our prayer life. I struggle with it, he says. I have trouble, especially at the appointed time of prayer, when I regularly pray. And I set before him some guidelines. One of the things we feel in prayer is continual guilt. Whenever I bring the subject up, I recognize most of the folks say, oh, no, not this again. Here we go. This is going to make me feel bad before I get out of here. Well, it's not our intent to do that. There's always room for growth in our spiritual exercise. I broke down prayer in his life into two broad categories. I have found this helpful in my own life. The concept of a specific time of prayer where I pray for regular things in general ways, period. General ways in that period of time, most probably. That's the prayer list. That's the appointed time for the things we pray for. When my wife and I pray, we'll pray for the grandchildren in broad terms, for their health, for their spiritual protection, for growth in grace, those general terms. Understand what I'm saying? That's the kind of thing we pray for at a given time. When we pray for certain missionaries regularly, it's in general terms. But a bigger part of my prayer life is what I call intermittent prayer. Prayer like this throughout the day. When things come at us as they come at us. While I may be praying for missionaries that I know in general and responding to their prayer letter, in specific when I hear that so-and-so missionary is having a difficulty in a given way and I hear that on an email or something, then do you wait for the next day to pray then? No, you probably pray right then. At that moment in time. And I'd like to introduce this concept of regular prayer and intermittent prayer. Intermittent prayer is prayer throughout the day, prayer in the trip, prayer in the business situation, prayer in the family life, prayer as they go off, prayer as they return, all those things that are the happenings of life that are fit subjects of our prayer. So as you're thinking about your own prayer life, think about the structured part of it, which may be in a given time. That one we have quite a bit of trouble with. And then the intermittent throughout the day, which is really dependence on God in prayer throughout our normal experiences of life. Because that's the way we really move through life. And both of those. Why do we pray? Why do any of us pray? To the great extent that we do or to the limited extent that we do? Here's the answer. We need help. Do you sense that? In Him we live and move and have our being. The Lord, on two occasions, taught His disciples to pray. And this is the chart that I have before you, if you have one of those. If not, I think I'll be able to spell it out particularly as we go through it. He taught us the Lord's Prayer. He said at the beginning of teaching them that in the Upper Room Discourse, in the Sermon on the Mount, don't repeat this prayer. If there's ever been a prayer that's been repeated, it's the Lord's Prayer. You understand that. We can sing it together. We can all repeat it. I remember the day, the happy day, frankly, when every class day in my elementary school, all the way up until high school for me, that will date me, we started out with some reading from Scripture, the Lord's Prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. It was a better day. Yeah, well, it was a better day, I want to tell you. But we know the Lord's Prayer. It's been repeated and repeated. I would expect that we could all repeat it here today. After the Lord institutes it as a model in the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples stumble on Him praying at another time. And they say to Him again, this is much later in the Judean ministry, they say to Him again, Lord, teach us to pray. And so He says, okay, and He starts, Our Father who art in heaven. He gives them the same prayer. And He's the one that said not to repeat it. Not to repeat prayers, just spin out a prayer that's repeated. Do you ever have trouble with that? Saying the same prayer? This happens at our table quite a bit. We always start with prayer. Have you ever gone through half the meal and say, did we pray? My conclusion is if we raise that question halfway through, we didn't pray, even if we did pray. Yeah, so we have to do it again, yeah. But it's not just the empty repetition of the same thing. We can fall into that. The Lord is giving us a wonderful model. The model has an introduction and a conclusion. We recognize to whom we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. You are the holy God. When we pray, we are addressing the God of the universe, who is totally apart from us. He is holy. He is hallowed. He is separate from us. He is the God who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And we have the privilege of addressing Him, of coming to Him and asking for help. Are we talking to the right person when we talk to God in prayer? Yes, we are. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. The conclusion of the prayer identifies the resource of God and what He can do for us. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have prayed to the right person because He rules over all supreme. He has power to execute our request if it is in keeping with His purposes. So we address the God of the universe who is holy. And we conclude by recognizing He has power to execute the desires that we have brought to Him in asking for help. What is in between is a wonderful organized structure of anything that you and I can ever pray for. That is why it is a model. He covers every possibility in four simple statements. This is what you pray about. You pray about anything you have need of help in, and there are four broad categories in which all of us need help. And that's what Jesus is teaching us in prayer. First of all, there is, because of the fall, disharmony with God. There is disharmony with our environment. There is disharmony with other people. And there's even disharmony internally with ourselves. We don't get along with God. We don't get along with creation. We don't get along with one another. And frequently, we don't get along with ourselves. Any of you have trouble in any of those areas? Doesn't that cover the whole thing? What else is there? God, creation, human beings, and ourselves. We are acknowledging we need help. And that's what asking is in prayer. God, I need help. I can't do it myself. I can't do any of this myself. Acts 17, in Him we live and move and have our being. By Him, Colossians 1, the whole creation is held together. We can't do anything without God. We can't even breathe. If Jesus would stop being the supporter of the universe, we'd all die instantly. We think we're so powerful. We are not powerful. We need help. We need help in knowing the will of God. Don't we pray about that a lot? Lord, what do you want to do? What am I supposed to do here? What direction am I supposed to go? Now, most of the will of God is revealed. We've talked about that in the preceptive will of God. But there is a directive will of God. And our hearts cry out instinctively that there is God who has requirements of us as His being. What is your will? And we come to God in time to understand, what do you want me to do? How am I to go in life? What's your purpose in life for me? I need help in knowing that. What is my future all about? I need help in knowing the direction I should go. I need help in the details of life as I spin out my career, my job, my work in the church, my place in the world. All of these things, we need the divine insight. And Jesus says, take it to God in prayer. You need to personalize this for yourself as I do. What does that mean? Some of you are in the very place of making big decisions in your life that will impact on your future. Those crossroads experiences where there's going to be one way or another that we will go. And we seem so incapable of knowing that. And we come to God in prayer. Because I need help. And He can give that help. As He directs us. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we all want in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. That we do the will of God here as it is done in heaven. And we pray to God for instruction in that way. Jesus says, second category, disciples, you with me on this? He says, give us this day our daily bread. That is our prayer for the physical experience of life and all that goes along with it. A result of disharmony with our environment, we need help. Do you remember back to the curse in the Bible? It's a curse that comes on the devil and on man and on woman and on the beast of the field and on nature itself. And we struggle under that curse up until this day. He will say to man, do you know what? You're going to work every day of your life, at least six of them. And you're going to work and work and work, and it's going to be hard. And eventually you will die. Isn't that what he says? That's good news, isn't it? And here we are. The consequence of that is with the sweat of our brow, we make a living out of the earth. Now, I come from Iowa, where there are more pigs than there are people. And I am certain that we can make it across the 320 miles of that state without ever being out of sight of corn or soybean or hay. It's just the way it is. Any of you in the farming industry in their group? Okay, I kind of knew that. You're not out there sweating bullets to raise the corn or hay or soybean. But there is the acid of the ulcer that comes out of high pressure in the business world. Any of you out in that kind of a world? Sure we are. Any of you find struggle in just making it? Just making it? What's this whole thing of making a living? It is so hard. Tennessee Ernie Ford, way back when, had it right. You load 16 ton, and what do you get? You guys know that song, I can tell. Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because I can't go. Oh, my soul to the company store. That's a good song, isn't it? It's the truth. And it may be we're not coal miners and stuck in a situation that we see periodically when tragedy strikes. But in a very real sense, we owe our soul to the company store. Don't we? Calls our attention. It is hard to make a living. Well, that's part of this struggle with the environment. That's the outside part of it. It's a struggle for food, shelter, and clothing. That's what this one's all about. How hard it is to live. And you're almost embarrassed in our luxury Western world to talk about it, but it's still the truth. It's hard to live. Hard to make it all work out. We put in so much time. And it's not just food, shelter, and clothing. That talks about the normative physical experience. It goes into the physical experience of our life and physical well-being. Isn't that a struggle? Isn't it? My wife's sitting back there with her leg up because of a physical struggle. You may notice I've gained a little weight in my right cheek. That's a part of a little struggle I'm having presently with a little tooth that's going to muck, you know. Those things happen. How many of you have aches right now where you're sitting? Just sitting there aching. Let's see the hands. Oh, it's a majority vote. I tell you what. It's hard. A friend of mine gave me a book of Iowa sayings and collected by one of the radio personalities in Iowa. And there's some hilarious things. We have laughed so hard at middle age when some of the parts stop working and the ones that do work hurt. Yeah, it's true. And it doesn't get easier, does it? It's hard. And we need help. And it gets so hard that it becomes tragic in our lives. We do this until we return to dust. And the closer we get to returning to dust, the harder it is physically. And we have to cry out, give me strength for the day, Lord. Strength to get through this day, just one more day. Strength just for a step yet. We've all been there. And if not, we're all getting there. And we need to cry out for our daily bread. Notice it's daily bread. Every day. we need help from God. Every day. So the Lord is saying, yes, you're going to have struggles as I'm teaching you to pray. And because we're all functioning under a cursed world, we have bodies that will die. The ground is hard to get a living out of it. It's hard to make a living. And by the sweat of your brow, it goes on until death comes. So pray to me every day. And we pray, give me the strength I need to get by this day as well, Lord. I look at a group of four, can I say, advanced in age. Do you know these four ladies are sitting here shaking their head like this? And, okay, there are three older ladies and one young. See, I'm in trouble. It's like Zechariah said to the angel, I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. It's always been a problem. You can never say that. Okay. Do you know why you're doing that? Because you know. Is there a widow represented in this group? Yeah. See that? Where are the widows in our congregation today? Yeah. Isn't that hard? Widowers? Isn't that hard? Is that going to be part of all of our lives? The Lord be not come. You ever think about that? When we redid our bedroom accommodations at home, we were putting up some walls, and I said, Melzie, let's make this room big enough so that if one of us should go, well, I don't like to talk about that, do you? But when you're planning something that's going to be now till the Lord comes, you've got to talk about that. And we built the new addition, the new walls. We put in with great big wide doors. Why would you do that? And when I did the shower, Melzie looks at it and she says, oh, man, this is Handle City in here. Because there are handles all over the place. Why do we do those kind of things? Why did we come from the second floor to live on one floor? That's the way people are planning houses now as they build, with wide doorways. Why wait for a renovation? Put it in that way in the first place. And there's a subtle statement to those architectural adjustments that life is going to get harder and harder and harder. And we are going to need the help of God to make it every day. Every hour of every day. We should have known it all along because he told us that in him we live and move and have our being. But when we're strong, we don't think that's true. It's true every day of our life. That's our life right there. Now one breath goes all the way back to Adam, who heard those words, you're going to work until you die, Adam. So you need my help. Give us this day our daily bread. Isn't it great to know you can turn to the God of creation and the God of redemption and say, I need your help for that next step in my life. That's what prayer's about, that one. Hey, we don't get along with one another too well. Any people in this room that when they see the other Christian coming, they kind of slip the... I don't think you're that kind of an assembly. You're happy folk. You like to stand back there and eat. I love that too. Are there certain folk you don't like to see approaching? Just soon be with another person. And are there difficulties between people? Again, I have known you folk, most of you, and a lot of you very well, some of you in general. Seems a very happy place here. But all of God's people don't get along real well. And all of the family doesn't get along too well. I would expect if we go into our family life, we recognize that some people don't quite get along as others. And there's always Uncle So-and-so who, whenever he comes, messes up everything. Any of you have relatives like that? Oh, man. I have a face in my mind already. Disharmony with others. And Jesus will tell his people, look, if you're coming to worship and you have something against your brother, don't come. Go get it straightened out with him and then come. And you see, this is a forever problem. And people have a tendency not to get along real well. So he says, here's how you should pray in that regard. As we're thinking about those that we relate to, both in the church and in the world, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Man, that's a high standard. Would you like to be forgiven according to the measure in which you forgive other people? That's a high standard. Lord, if I don't forgive other people, I am praying, don't you forgive me. And he's saying, you need my help to get along with one another. And because we all have a pretty good dose of the old nature still. So, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then we say, Lord, I don't get along with myself. Do any of us live up to the standard of spirituality that is our desire? We too often get stuck in Romans 7, where Paul says, the things I hate, they're the things that I do. And the things that I purpose to do, they're the very things I don't do. We're not to get stuck there, but we're there sometimes. And how frustrated we get with ourselves when we fail God. Have you been on that page? Lord, don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. I need your help to live the way you want me to live. I need your help, as we saw from an earlier session, to live the way I want to live, because I don't pull it off in my own strength. There's nothing we can ever pray for that is not incorporated in these four subjects. That's why it's such a wonderful model. The tension comes when, as we pray, the prayer is not answered the way we intended. The prayer definition of the Westminster Shorter Catechism that I have on your page is a very helpful statement to harmonize in our thinking the tension in prayer. Prayer is an offering of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. We are saying that we need the mercy of God, that we sin and we confess those sins. We cannot see clearly all there is to see as we make the request. But this is the desire of our hearts, and we are bringing it to you that it should be agreeable to your will. And if it is, to execute that desire. And Jesus says it simply, not my will, but thine be done. And in our prayer requests, we allow God, who is merciful and omniscient and omnipotent and has nothing but our good in view, to answer our prayers and desires according to his will. The Gethsemane kind of prayer. Your will be done. Let's pray together. Father, we hear the disciples of your Son come to him and request, Lord, teach us to pray. And we pray, as we learn to pray, that the great struggles of prayer and the conflicts in prayer may be resolved in our lives. If we see your Son praying here on earth, we recognize that we are to pray as well. And we pray for strength to execute this as the desire of our hearts. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.